monsters of our own creation. Rioters engaged in sacking and burning swathes of some of America's greatest cities ought to be universally condemned as amoral, materialistic, self-absorbed thugs, with an overweening sense of entitlement engendered by a leftist-dominated, overly indulgent education state. Verbose, perhaps, but it describes them to a T. However, it merely catalogues the symptoms of the disease that lies at the root of what is so manifestly rotten about a modern American society. Sadly, our wounds are entirely self-inflicted. The riots are the fruit of an effort by our governing elite to banish God from the nursery, the schoolroom, and the public square, and to replace him with a politically correct Marxist-inspired program of social engineering. Despite the propaganda disseminated by a corrupt and deceitful mainstream media, the rioters who are ransacking our cities are by no means members of an alienated and beleaguered minority. Our television screens demonstrate on a daily basis that they're drawn from a broad cross-section of America's youth, rich, poor, and middling, white, black, and in between. They are representative of a godless, narcissistic generation, motivated by envy, greed, and a pitiless joy in destruction. They do not, however, behave that way because of a cradle-to-grave welfare system that inevitably fosters laziness, lack of ambition, and dependency. Certainly, welfare systems tend to have that effect. But laziness, lack of ambition, and dependency do not necessarily engender a tendency to riot. Violence and other criminal behavior have traditionally been deterred by restraints societies have traditionally imposed on themselves. Sometimes the restraints are the product of a national culture and tradition, as in Japan. Elsewhere, in places like Nazi Germany, fascist Italy, the former Soviet Union, and Red China, the ruthless exercise of force by the state acts as a primary restraint. But in America, as in many of the countries that were once called Christendom, the most vital restraint was self-restraint. To be sure, there was the full panoply of the justice system, police, judiciary, and prisons, to deal with those who would not or could not exercise self-restraint. But society's first line of defense was a general acceptance of the dictum that one should do as one would be done by. The principle was instilled in church, in synagogues, and around the supper table. But the groundwork was laid in the classroom, during public prayer, at assembly, and in the teaching of the nation's language, literature, history, and religion. It sought to foster virtues like decency, honesty, industry, integrity, kindliness, courage, responsibility, and a sense of self-sacrifice. It laid a heavy burden on the wealthy, teaching that those to whom much has been given, much was expected. It was also known both to its admirers and detractors alike as muscular Christianity. After World War II, muscular Christianity came to be seen by America's intellectuals as patronizing, paternalistic, and even racist, a legacy of a shameful past. And as a consequence, no hint of muscular Christianity is to be found in our schools today. The ancient collective virtues of decency, honesty, industry, integrity, kindliness, courage, responsibility, and self-sacrifice have been edged aside by self-centered qualities, self-awareness, self-esteem, self-fulfillment, self-satisfaction, and a sense of entitlement. Children are no longer taught to rise above their disadvantages. Rather, they learn that they are an unjust society's helpless victims. This philosophy is reflected in the justice system's sentencing guidelines to the judiciary. Absent any genuine form of restraint, moral or legal, the sole real surprise is about how widespread rioting took so long in coming. Americans, barbarians, have nothing in common with the members of the greatest generation, the young men, many still in their teens, who stormed the beaches in Normandy and Iwo Jima. And they have nothing in common with the women like Rosie the Riveter, who kept the wheels of industry turning. Even so, They are monsters that we ourselves have created when we allowed God to be driven out of public life in general, and the classroom in particular. Sadly, far too many of our political leaders seem oblivious to the threat that it presents to our constitutional form of government. Indeed, some of them are actually applauding the barbarians howling at the gates, while those who deplore the rioters seem to lack the moral courage to turn them back.